بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. Today we completed the 26th juz along with just a page and a half of the 27th juz. The first surah that we covered is Surah Ahqaf. Ahqaf literally means sand dunes, because that is the area around where people of Ad lived. This surah was revealed when the jinns heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recite the Quran in a place called Batn Nakhla. That's why in one of the ayahs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَصَرَفْنَا إِلَيْكَ نَفَرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that remember the time when there are some jinns, they heard you read the Quran and then they turned back and went to their people, and those jinns gave da'wah to the other jinns and told them that we heard something after the book of Musa alayhi salam, so believe in it. So they started giving da'wah to other jinns. So nevertheless, like I mentioned, that this surah is named Ahqaf because it was describing where the people of Ad lived, which were valleys that were surrounded by sand dunes. This surah covers the main articles of faith, which is of course belief in Allah, belief in the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, and the Day of Judgment. And it also talks about the destruction of the people of Ad because they denied all of these things. Now, one ayah I wanted to point out is in the middle of the surah, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us is, well, actually, he's talking to the disbelievers. He says, وَيَوْمَ يَعْرَضُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا عَلَى النَّارِ. He's talking to the disbelievers that will be sent to the fire of Jahannam. And what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them is, that is something that should resonate with us as well, especially during this pandemic when we should be turning to Allah Ta'ala even more than before. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala tells those disbelievers when they're about to go into Jahannam and they're being sent to Jahannam, He tells them, أَذْهَبْتُمْ طَيِّبَاتِكُمْ فِي حَيَاتِكُمُ الدُّنْيَا وَاسْتَمْتَعْتُمْ بِهَا. All your pleasures and everything, you took them away with you in this world. وَاسْتَمْتَعْتُمْ بِهَا, and you had fun with it too. All your entertainment, all your fun, all your pleasure, all your happiness, you took benefit from it in this world as much as you wanted. فَالْيَوْمَ تُجْزَوْنَ عَذَابَ الْهُونَ. But now today, on this day, you're going to be given a punishment of disgrace. عَذَابَ الْهُونَ. Why? Because of two reasons. بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَكْبِرُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ. Because you showed arrogance in this world. وَبِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَفْسُقُونَ. And because you committed sins. The lesson is that all of us are right now using the property of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we behave arrogantly as if it is ours. We say it's our house, our clothes, our money, our car, our this. It is because we did our job and worked so hard for so many years, this is now ours. It's all ours, ours, ours. Our job was to pay back Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by serving Him for what He gave us, because none of it is ours. None of it is ours. Because this entire world was His to begin with. The only reason we exist is because of Him. So we were not supposed to pay Him back by serving Him and not disobeying Him. But we end up sinning and being ungrateful. And all the while we continue to engage in our own entertainment and use Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's property. Just sinning is enough to show our arrogance with His things. Because if we continue to sin, it is as if we're telling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this is all yours, but we say no, it's ours, and we're arrogant about it, that we're going to sin too even though it is yours. So that's how our attitude is. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to tell people on the day of the world of Jahannam that fine, you took all of your benefit from this world, now you're going to be punished because you were so arrogant about it and you continued to do sin. And now in this pandemic, it's one level worse, because right now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actively telling us that He has control over the wealth of this entire world, and yet we continue to sin. Allah ta'ala then tells us about the people of Ad, and how they were sent a cloud thinking that it was going to be rain, that it will be beneficial for them. But what happened to them? Because they were so arrogant too. بَلْ هُوَ مَا اسْتَعْجَلْتُمْ بِهِ رِيحٌ فِيهَا عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. That cloud they thought was beneficial for them and it was going to bring rain for their crops. There was actually a punishment in there. And it تُدَمِّرُ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ بِأَمْرِ رَبِّهَا. It destroyed their entire city. فَأَصْبَحُوا لَا يُرَى إِلَّا مَسَاكِنُهُمْ. And the only thing that was left was just parts of their city, but they were all completely destroyed. Now who knows, the benefits we're having right now in this world may also be like that cloud, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from that. And if Allah ta'ala ends up punishing the wrongdoers and we are amongst them, what will our feeling be in that situation as well? So that is Surah Ahqaf. Moving forward to Surah Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The theme of the surah is the battle of Badr and the war that happened with the polytheists and laws that relate to captives and prisoners of war, POW, but I'm not going to get into any of that. This surah is called Surah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because of the second verse, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَآمَنُوا بِمَا نُزِّلَ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the believers that believe in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent, and they believe in whatever was sent to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anyway, moving forward, there's one ayah that is important in this, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يَتَمَتَّعُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala herein describes how disbelievers behave in this world. He says, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يَتَمَتَّعُونَ وَيَأْكُلُونَ كَمَا تَأْكُلُ الْأَنْعَامِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and those people that disbelieve and are ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَتَمَتَّعُونَ. While they're living in this world, they have all the fun and pleasure they want to have, because this world is the only thing where they have all the fun and pleasure they want to have. وَيَأْكُلُونَ كَمَا تَأْكُلُ الْأَنْعَامِ. And they eat the same way the animals eat. That's all they care about. Eating, 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 pleasure, pleasure, fun, fun, entertainment. That's their entire life. And وَالنَّارُ مَثْوًى لَهُمْ. And because of this lifestyle, the fire of Jahannam is where they're going to end up. Now, since this life is everything to them, that is how they are going to behave. But our ease and comfort in this world should not delude us. That's the disbelievers, people who don't believe in the Akhirah. That should not delude us. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in the next ayah? وَكَأَيِّمْ مِنْ قَرْيَةٍ هِيَ أَشَدُّ قُوَّةً مِنْ قَرْيَتِكَ الَّذِي أَخْرَجَكَ. That there were so many nations there before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished, and they were much stronger, much more powerful, and had much more wealth than anyone we can imagine. But still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them. If we are still living in, if right now in this pandemic, if we're still having an easy time, don't let it get to our heads. This pandemic is a reminder from Allah. But if we continue to live our lives as we normally did, being purely worried just about worldly things and this world and materialistic things, fulfilling only our worldly desires, then it means we've learned absolutely nothing. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the next ayah, أَفَمَنْ كَانَ عَلَى بَيِّنَةٍ مِّن رَبِّهِ كَمَنْ زُيِّنَ لَهُ سُوءُ عَمَلِهِ وَاتَّبَعُوا أَهْوَاءَهُمْ. Is the person who is upon a proof from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is he equal to the one who has been shown his deeds to be very, very beautiful? Someone who's living in this world, he thinks, oh, whatever I'm doing is really, really nice. وَاتَّبَعُوا أَهْوَاءَهُمْ. While this person is only following his own desires. Allah says, are they equal? Many of us may be involved in a wrong or a sin, but what makes it worse is when we make ourselves think it is fine for me to do those things simply because we want to follow our desires. And this, let me just quickly mention one plot of shaitan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the same surah, in Surah Muhammad, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ ارْتَدُّوا عَلَىٰ أَدْبَارِهِمْ عَلِمَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الْهُدَىٰ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that those people that turn away from Allah after they have received guidance, they've received guidance, they brought iman, they became Muslims, after they've done that, they turn away. What does shaitan do in that situation? الشَّيْطَانُ سَوَّلَ لَهُمْ وَأَمْلَى لَهُمْ. What shaitan does is he makes those people think that everything they're doing, سَوَّلَ لَهُمْ, is very, very nice. وَأَمْلَى لَهُمْ. And he gives them lots of hope. He gives them lots and lots of hope. Don't worry, whatever you're doing, Allah will forgive you. It's okay. Don't worry about changing your life. You're a good Muslim. You're praying this many times a day. At least you're trying your best. It's okay. Well, Mlana gives them lots and lots and lots of hope. That's shaitan's plot. If we are caught in that and we're committing sins and we're thinking that, oh, it's okay, Allah will forgive everything, you've already been caught in the conspiracy of shaitan and in the plot of shaitan. Again, like I mentioned, this pandemic is a sign and a reminder. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in one of the ayahs in the surah, فَهَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا السَّاعَةَ أَن تَأْتِيَهُمْ بَغْتَةً. Are they only waiting, or is the only thing that is going to remind them about the truth, are they only waiting for the day of judgment that's going to catch them all of a sudden? Suddenly, it's going to catch all of them. Is that what they're finally waiting for? فَقَدْ جَاءَ أَشْرَاطُهَا. The signs of the day of judgment have already come. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means by that is not the major signs, but all of the minor things and all of the things that are really, really obvious. Especially right now, we're in the middle of a pandemic. فَقَدْ جَاءَ أَشْرَاطُهَا. It's already come. فَأَنَّا لَهُمْ إِذَا جَاءَتْهُمْ ذِكْرَاهُمْ. Then when the day of judgment finally comes, what are all these reminders going to be there for? What are they going to say then? They've already received all the reminders. فَقَدْ جَاءَ أَشْرَاطُهَا. When the day of judgment comes, what are they going to say then? Because all the reminders are there. So these reminders are not going to benefit them at that time. Then in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us a bit about Jannah, Jahannam, about the rivers in Jannah. In this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mentions that in there's different rivers in Jannah. One is a pure water that has no bad smell at all. Then there's a river of مِن لَبَنِ لَمْ يَتَغَيِّرْ طَعْمُ, a milk that never goes bad. عَسَلٍ مُصَفَّى, there's a river of clean honey, pure honey. and من خمر لذة للشاربين, and a river of alcohol that tastes لذة للشاربين, that tastes very, very nice. And as mentioned in other surah, that is not going to intoxicate anyone though. Moving on to Surah Fath. Fath literally means when there is a victory in a conquest, when someone is victorious and they conquer something, it's called a Fath. The surah was revealed after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam signed the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, I'll get to this later. And it's called Fath because the Treaty of Hudaybiyah that they signed in the 6th year after Hijrah, it was a forerunner to the conquest of Makkah, which is going to happen a few years later, and Makkah was going to be conquered. This treaty led to so many people becoming Muslims throughout the entire land, which gave the Muslims enough power to go to Makkah and conquer it without any fighting. Which is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called the Treaty of Hudaybiyah Fath. And many of the companions were confused. Why is it called a manifest victory when we were forced to go back to Mecca and it didn't seem like it. Anyway, this surah talks about, as I mentioned, to the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. And it also talks about something called the Pledge of Ridwan to fight the non-Muslim. Rasulullah took a pledge with the many Sahabas under a tree called Ridwan to fight the non-Muslims because they were committing aggression against some of the Muslims. And this is also while they were on their way to Mecca. And it also talks about the attitude of the Bedouins in being reluctant to help out Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even though they're Muslims, they're reluctant to help him out in times of war. There's just one ayah I wanted to point out here. During the 6th year after Hijrah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a dream that he was going to, this is kind of explaining what the Treaty of Hudaybiyah is about. He had a dream in the 6th year after Hijrah that he was going to return to his homeland of Mecca for Umrah, after being in Medina for 6 years. He was in Medina for 6 years, hadn't seen his homeland, Mecca, for 6 years. So now finally he had a dream, and visions of the prophets are true, they become a reality, that he was going into Mecca, and he was performing Umrah, Muhalliqeen wa Muqassirin, and they were all shaving their heads because they all performed Umrah. That made Rasulullah very, very happy, so he told the Sahabas, and everyone got excited. They put on their ihram, and they said, let's just go to Mecca right now. So they went off, and when they reached, they were very close to Mecca. The Quraysh stopped them in an area called Hudaybiyah, and they didn't let him go. So eventually a treaty was signed, which allowed them to return for next year for Umrah, and it also was they agreed that they will not, they will not fight for the next 10 years. It was broken later, but anyway, so they weren't able to go to Mecca that year, and they had to go the following year instead. So in the 7th year of Hijrah, that dream came true. The reason I'm mentioning this right now is because what's the connection here? That this pandemic is a very, very, very interesting time. Because this pandemic actually allows many of us to feel how the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam felt at that time when he was being stopped from going to Mecca. Because those who've been to the Haram recently, or maybe go there regularly, right now you should cherish this feeling of longing and yearning and wanting to go to the lands of Haramain, which at this time have been closed off to the entire world despite all of our wealth and despite all of our physical health. It's a good time right now to feel one of the pains of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that we may never have felt before. But it's also a good time to make dua for the reopening of the Haram too. It's very interesting that we can actually feel right now how Rasulullah probably felt in Mecca for the first 6 years when he couldn't return to Mecca to perform tawaf and do Umrah, which is why they got so excited when they found out that they were going to do Umrah. We can feel that too because the Haramains are closed off right now to everyone except few people. So the next time the Haram may become off, right, because we should cherish this feeling and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it reopens the Haram, because who knows, the next time the Haram may become off limits, maybe Wallahu A'lam once the Dajjal is here, who knows. So this is quite a precursor to many, many things. Wallahu A'lam. Next surah is Surah Hujurat. The theme of the surah is codes of conduct for social behavior. Not ridiculing others, not using bad nicknames, not finding fault in others, not having bad suspicion about people, not spying on people, not backbiting people. All of these things are mentioned in the surah. The surah is called Hujurat because Hujurat means rooms. It refers to the rooms of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam where he would live with his wives. And there was a tribe called Bani Tamim, and they came out right in front of the Hujurat of Rasulullah, the rooms of Rasulullah, and they started saying, "Oh Muhammad, come out." They said it in a very bad way, "Oh Muhammad, come out," sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they didn't observe any social etiquette. So the whole surah was revealed about social etiquette. There's one ayah in here, but it's very popular. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, "Ya ayyuhan nasu, inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha, wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabaila ta'arafu." O mankind, we have created you from just one man and one woman, one male and one female, and we made you nations and tribes just so you can recognize each other. So in this ayah, Allah Ta'ala tells us, and on top of that, in this ayah, Allah Ta'ala tells us the standard He uses to determine our status and rank, regardless of all of our races and backgrounds. What is that standard Allah uses? Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. The most noble of you in the eyes of Allah is the one who is atqakum, the one with the most taqwa. And in this pandemic, and especially in Ramadan, our goal is obviously to increase our taqwa. And what's most interesting is about this, instead of, in the surah, Allah SWT tells us what his standard is, but instead of speaking about salah, zakah, fasting, and hajj, what does Allah Ta'ala talk about throughout the entire surah as a sign of true taqwa? He talks about social conduct. Consider people of all races and backgrounds to be equal. And based on that, never doing anything against others which tries to show that we are superior in any way. That's what Allah is talking about in this entire surah. So the moment we become arrogant or consider ourselves to be superior than anyone, then all of the sins mentioned in this surah, they manifest. If you have arrogance, you are going to backbite others. If you have arrogance, you're going to talk ill of others. If you have arrogance, you will make fun of others. If you have arrogance, you're going to call people with bad nicknames. If you have arrogance and pride, you will spy on people. All of these relate back to having arrogance. So nevertheless, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that, put all these arrogance down and then your taqwa will increase. So once again, in this pandemic, do not forget the social aspect of taqwa while we all focus on our ibadat. Then we did Surah Qaf. Surah Qaf, the theme of Surah Qaf, a description of the Day of Judgment and the fire of Jahannam. And it talks about the angels recording everything, the two angels that are on our right and left, that they're recording everything. They're explicitly mentioned, إِذْ يَتَلَقَّ الْمُتَلَقِّيَانِ عَنِ الْيَمِينِ وَعَنِ الشِّمَالِ قَعِيدٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells about the two angels that are on the right and left, yameen wa shimal, qa'id, and they're sitting there, yatalaqiyan, they're writing everything. So the surah explicitly mentions that. One part I want to mention is that in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes how we will come with our angels. On the day of judgment, there will be one angel that's going to take us to Allah. There will be another angel that is going to be a shahid. He's shaheed. He's going to be someone who's going to bear witness on behalf of us or against us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sa'iqun wa shaheed. They're going to go to Allah and tell them, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then they're going to present all of our deeds to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with our book of deeds. Then Allah ta'ala will command the two angels to throw all the wrongdoers in Jahannam. So if you're a wrongdoer and those angels are with you, guess what? They're going to take you and throw you into Jahannam. In this pandemic, Allah ta'ala has sent us a very, very great reminder. And if we continue to do evil deeds and follow the path of shaitan, then on the day of judgment, we will have no way to escape Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment. Once Allah ta'ala commands those angels to throw the wrongdoers in the fire, what's going to happen is the shaitan that was with us was trying to misguide us the entire time in our lives and mentioned in other ayahs. This could be outside of Iblis because Iblis has many other shaitan too. That shaitan is also going to put to trial. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to ask him too, like, what were you doing? And what will he say? He's going to make excuses. رَبَّنَا مَا أَضْغَيْتُهُ وَلَكِن كَانَ فِي ضَلَالٍ بَعِيدٍ. He's going to say, Ya Allah, oh my Lord, I didn't do anything. I didn't tell him to be bad. It wasn't my fault. وَلَكِن كَانَ فِي ضَلَالٍ بَعِيدٍ. He was the one who was misguided himself. He did it. It was all his fault. And when we try to quarrel and argue about how shaitan made us do all this evil and both of us start arguing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what will Allah ta'ala say? لَا تَخْتَصِمُوا لَدَيْ. Do not argue with me today. وَقَدْ قَدَّمْتُ إِلَيْكُمْ بِالْوَعِيدِ. I had already sent you a warning in this world. مَا يُبَدَّلُ الْقَوْلُ لَدَيَّ. And today what I'm going to say is not going to change. If you are to be from the people of Jahannam, you received your warnings in this world. If you did not change, that's it. It's the end for you. وَمَا أَنَا بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ. I will not be oppressed. I'll not oppress any of my servants today. You did wrong and there is Jahannam. So we should change ourselves before death comes to us. Because then we're going to try and run away from the reality of death and the reality of the Akhirah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in the surah, وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ ذَلِكَ مَا كُنْتُ مِنْهُ تَحِيدٍ. And the pangs of death, the final moments of death, they come with the truth as well. Because when you are passing away, all the realities of the Akhirah, the angels, everything, you start seeing everything in front of you. Once that happens, ذَٰلِكَ مَا كُنْتَ مِنْهُ تَحِيدٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that is the same thing you're going to be running away from. You're running away from it right now. Now, if we live our life right now, making it look like death will never come, and we continue to commit sins everywhere, left and right, day and night, especially now when the pandemic has shown us increased death, that we will surely be doomed, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in this ayah, لَقَدْ كُنْتَ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مِّنْ هَذَا فَكَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ غِطَاءَكَ فَبَصَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٌ. He's going to tell all of us on the day of, especially the wrong, he's going to tell the wrongdoers on the day of judgment, that لَقَدْ كُنْتَ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مِّنْ هَذَا. You used to be heedless about this day, about this day of judgment, and now you're standing in front of me. فَكَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ غِطَاءَكَ فَبَصَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٌ. Now I have taken the veil away from your eyes, and you can see everything clearly. You can see all the manifestation of the Akhirah. So we should not wait for death. The last surah is Surah Dhariyat. The theme of Surah Dhariyat is also the day of judgment, Jannah, Jahannam. In this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts off by swearing by Adhariyat, which means the scattering winds. That, إِنَّمَا تُوَعَدُونَ الْأَصَادِقِ. What does he swear about? He swears on the scattering winds that whatever you are promised, referring to the day of judgment and Akhirah and everything, Jannah and Jahannam, لَصَادِقِ, it is truthful and it waqir, it is going to happen. Towards the end of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that famous ayah there that tells us about the purpose of our creation, مَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Dhariyat that I did not create man and jinn except to worship me. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to act upon what has been said. وَأَخْرِ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.